It's indicative of your innocent things divine, and we're certainly glad to have you in the service today. Let's remember our services throughout the day. Brian will be with us in the evening service to bring the message of the hour. Good to have his father and several of his relatives and friends from Eastern Kentucky with us. I always enjoy visiting with Brian's father. He seems to be well informed in the scriptures. We're just delighted. We're sorry so many of our members are on the sick list, and we just hope and pray they'll soon be made well and can be with us. About a month ago, Brother Ronnie Joe Downs told me that someone, I think it's Marcia, had handed him a sermon I preached 13 years ago. And I asked him what the title of it was. And he said, well, it was answering John Doe. I said, Ronnie, I don't believe I preached that sermon. I think you got me mixed up with someone else. He said, oh, yeah, you did. You preached it. And I still felt that he was mistaken, because I couldn't recall preaching a sermon like that. And he told me he would make me a disc of it so I could play it. So about a week went by, and he handed me a disc of the sermon. I started out to the farm one day, and I decided to stick it in the player on the car. And I stuck it in, and it started playing, and I heard this fellow talking. And sure enough, it was my big mouth that was making the noise. And Ronnie was right, and I was wrong. I did preach the sermon. Now, that isn't the first time I have denied preaching something. I held several meetings in the Los Angeles area, California, several years ago, and about 15 years later, a man walked up to me and told me about a sermon I'd preached in Los Angeles. And he told me what it was, and I said, I didn't preach that. Yeah, you did. I said, well, I don't believe I did preach that. And he produced proof for me, and so he whipped me the second time. Ronnie Joe whipped me the first time. This man whipped me the second time. I want to tell you one more story, and then I'm going to get to my lesson. I have written several articles back through the years, and a lady from Florida walked up to me and said, Brother Hoagland, I have an article you wrote 15, 20 years ago. I said, what's the name of it? She said, it's so-and-so. I said, I didn't write that. I said, I don't believe I wrote that. Yes, she said, you did. And once again, she produced proof and whipped me the third time. Now, I can sympathize with Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 when he says, I can't remember who I baptized. He said, now, I baptized Gaius and Crispus and the household of Stephanus. But he said, I can't remember baptizing any other. Now, Paul's memory wasn't inspired. His words were, but not his memory. And so I can sort of sympathize with Paul in the fact that you just can't remember, well, not only who you baptized, but sometime articles you've written and sermons you have preached. Someone asked me one day how many articles I have written through the years. I said, hundreds, hundreds. I don't know how many hundreds. Sermons, same way. And so it's all but impossible for me to remember everything that I preached through the many years. But after I listened to this sermon on answering John Doe, I thought, these brethren can't remember what I preached 13 years ago. I'm going to serve it on a platter to them the second time. And so this is going to be your lesson. For today, it's answering John Doe. What I did in the sermon, I played two parts, myself and also John Doe. John Doe represented people who are confused. We'll talk about him in just a minute. But it's based upon 1 Peter 3:15, 15th verse, and I hope they'll put it up there so you can see it. It was read in your hearing a while ago, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready at all times or any time to give an answer to anyone asks the hope that is within you, and that with meekness and fear. And it was based upon this one verse. Now, when Peter says, sanctify the Lord, the word sanctified, of course, means to set apart. And he said, set apart the Lord in your hearts. Now, I want to tell you this. The Lord is to be set apart in your heart. And your heart is up here. It's not down here. It is up here, which really means the mind. I had a man one time told me he could feel his religion right here. I said, where's that? He said, right there. In my heart, I said, friend, if you're feeling something there, you're having coronary problems, and you need to go to the doctor. I said, your heart is up here. It's not down here. This is a physical heart. Now, when he said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, in your heart, he meant in your mind. You set him apart. I want to say this, that God dwells in your heart if you're a Christian. So does Christ dwell in your heart, and so does the Holy Ghost. But they dwell in you through the Word of God. Not separate and apart from the Scripture. God dwells in me and you. Peter said you're to sanctify him in your heart. And that's where he dwells. And then he uses the word be ready. I'm going to talk about the word ready, but I'll not define it. That would be a reflection on your intelligence. You know what ready means. Paul said that he was ready to preach the gospel to the people in Rome. That meant he's prepared. Number two, he told Timothy, right before he died, he said, I'm ready to be offered. That meant that Nero was going to have him let out the Appian where he'd be killed. He was ready to die. I mean, he's prepared to die. And so when the Bible says we're to be ready, it means prepared. And by the way, this applies to everybody, not to preachers alone. This applies to everybody. We need members of the church who qualify themselves by study of the Word of God to give an answer to anything they've espoused as a Christian. That's really what that means. And then he says not only to be ready, but he says to give an answer. Very interesting word here, to give. It is from pro-apologian in the original language. And it actually is different from our English word, apology. You know, if you need to apologize to somebody, you've done them wrong and you need to correct that, right? But this word, which is pronounced basically the same way, means to give a defense or to defend. We talk about Christian apologetics. Several men have written books on it. I have some books on Christian apologetics. It doesn't mean making an apology to somebody, but giving a defense of that which you believe, or defending Christianity. That's really what it means. It means that you need to be prepared as a child of God to give an answer to any man that asks you of the hope that is within you. And the reason I titled this Answering John Doe, I have had people to come in sometime in my office or in my home, and this has happened more than once, so this is not a figment of my imagination. I just use John Doe as a name in an accommodative sense. And they come in and they say, Preacher Hoagland, could I talk to you? I'm confused. I'd really want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I have listened to all these preachers in town, and they all preach different doctrines, and there's different churches, and I've listened to the preachers on television, and I am just up to here. I am confused. I said, friend, I can understand that. I can relate to it, because it would be confusing if you did not know the Word of God. And Preacher Hoagland, I'd like to ask you some questions. I called him John Doe. And John Doe came in and he asked me, and I tried to fulfill exactly what Peter told me, to be ready to give an answer. But I said, John, I'm going to let you answer any question you have by yourself. I'm going to let you answer it. I'm going to show you how. Over in Luke, the 10th chapter, a lawyer stood up tempting Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to go to heaven or have eternal life? He's tempting Jesus. Jesus said, how readest thou? What saith the law? In other words, I'm going to let you read it. I'll put you in the defensive. You tell me. Well, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, you have answered correctly, this do and live. He said, but willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? See, that was said in derision, I guess. He said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, which I won't go into now. But my point is that Jesus said, you read it for me out of the Bible. And that's what I told John Doe. I said, I'm going to let you read it. Well, he said, the first question I want to ask you, Hoagland, is I noticed that sign out there says Church of Christ. He said, why are you a member of the Church of Christ and not some of these other churches that are bigger than you are and maybe that have more money than you are? And I'd like you to explain to me why you are a member of the Church of Christ. I said, well, John, I'll try to answer that, but I'm going to let you answer it. I said, do you have a New Testament? He said, not with me. I said, I'm going to loan you one. And I shoved the New Testament in. I said, now I want you to read a passage for me, if you will. I want you to turn over to Matthew 16, 18, and read that for me. So he turned over there. I also say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I said, John, do you understand what you read? Well, he said, I guess I do. I said, who was talking? Who said that? Well, he said, the Lord said it. I said, he said, upon this rock I will build. I said, John, what is the word I? Well, he said, it's pronoun. I said, what kind of pronoun? He said, personal in the nominative case. I said, who is the I? Who is the I? Who's talking? He said, Jesus. He said, I've been to school, Hoagland. I know a little bit myself. I said, that's what I know. I said, you're doing real well. I said, that's right. I said, then you say the I is Jesus? He said, yes, sir. I said, the next thing is will build. What's that? Well, he said, that's a verb phrase. I said, excellent. I said, is it present tense, past tense, or future tense? Well, he said, that's obvious. It's future tense. He said, will build doesn't mean it's already built. I said, good. John, then Jesus hadn't built whatever he's talking about. Is that correct? He said, that's correct. It's in the future. He said, if I were to say I will build a house, that's in the future. I haven't already built a house. Then I said, Jesus' church wasn't in existence then, was it, John? He said, no, sir. I said, excellent. How readest thou? You read it for me. I said, okay, John, now we've studied I and will build, and we come next to church. Could you tell me what church is? He said, it's a noun. I said, you know what kind of a noun it is? He said, it's a collective noun. I said, could you give me an illustration of a collective noun? He said, yeah, I'll covey a quail or a flock of geese. Excellent. He said, Ward, I've had some courses in English. I know what I'm doing. I said, I see that you have. You're doing very well. Now, you tell me that Jesus is going to build. What was he going to build? He said, I'll build my church. I said, then since it's a collective noun, it's made up of more than one person, isn't it? He said, yes, sir. It means several. Very good, John. Now, I said, there's another word right there that I want you to tell me what it means. It's the word my. I said, you know what that is? He said, that's another pronoun. But he said it's possessive case instead of nominative case. He said, I is nominative case, talking about Jesus, but my is a possessive case, is a pronoun. And he says the church belongs to him. Then, John, would you say that the church belongs to Christ? He said, that's what it says. I said, you're doing a good job reading, John. I said, now I want to ask you. You ask me why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I said, when Jesus said, I will build my church, I said, whose church was it? Well, he said, that's obvious, Christ's church. Now, do you understand why I'm a member of the Church of Christ? Well, he said, I'm beginning to see it. I'm beginning to see it. I said, see, I'll let you read it yourself. I didn't have anything to do with it. I want you to read it. And he did. Now I said, right now we won't discuss the gates of hell not prevailing against it. We could, but it simply means he would build a church in spite of the Hadean world, because that's where he went when he died, and he came up victorious over the Hadean world, and in spite of that, he did build his church. Now, John, one more question. Is a church singular or plural? Well, he said it's singular. I said, if you'd read this, how many churches would you get the idea that the Lord built? He said, well, according to this, he only built one. He only built one. Now, I said, John, I want you to read another scripture for me. Turn over to Romans 16:16 and read that for me. He said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. I said, what do you mean there by churches of Christ? Well, he said he pluralized the collective noun and referred to a number, I guess, of congregations. I said, that's correct. That's right. And he said, churches of Christ. I said, if several of them are called churches of Christ, what would one of them be called? Well, he said, I guess Church of Christ. Very good. Now, what was your question you asked me when you came into my office? Well, I want to know why you're a member of the Church of Christ. I said, do you begin to understand why I'm a member? He said, I'm beginning to see it. I'm beginning to see it. And you see, John, what I did, John Doe, I let you read it for yourself. I didn't even read it to you. You read it to me. Just like Jesus told the lawyer, you read the scripture yourself. Put him in the defensive. So John Doe began to understand. He said, all right, I understand that. But he said, I have another question. And he said, how do you become a member of this church? Well, I said, that's a very good question, too. And I said, I want you to turn with me and read a few scriptures. Mark 16:15-16. I want you to turn over there where Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world. And so he turned over there and he read it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. I said, who's talking? He said, well, it's the Lord again. The Lord's talking. He's talking to his apostles. Told him to go into all the world. And he told them to do what? He told them to preach. Well, I said, the word world here, what would you say the word world meant here? Well, he said, it'd have to be the people of the world, because you don't preach just to a material universe, to the cosmos. It'd be the people of the world. I said, then the word world sometime is used in the sense of the people of the world. He said, yes, I'd say that. John Doe said, I'd say that. So he told them to go preach the gospel then to the people of the world, all nations, anywhere, regardless of their former servitude or their manner of life. He said, you're to preach the gospel to them. You see, John's doing very well because he's reading it out of the Bible himself. He's reading it. We let John read. I said, okay, John. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized. I said, what is this word he? Well, he said, like you asked me over there, it's a pronoun. All right. I said, what he is he talking about? Well, it would be any he that would do what he says in the text there. I said, well, what did he say in the text? What did he say this he has to do? Well, he said, let me read it again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I said, what does the word believeth mean? Believe in what? Well, John said, I think it would mean that you believe in Jesus, and that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I said, very good. I believe that. I agree with you on that. And you've got to believe. in order to be saved. I said, John, that little word "and" there, between the two verbs, believers and baptized, do you know what that is? He said, well, they taught me in school it was a conjunction. I said, what kind of conjunction did they tell you it was? Well, they called it a connecting conjunction between two verbs. Copulative, they called it. But I said, what does it join? Well, he said, it joins belief and baptism. I said, what did they tell you in school? He says, that they have to move in the same direction, both verbs. But I said, what direction are they moving in? Read your text. What are they moving toward? Why are they doing it? He says, they're moving toward salvation, to be saved. S-A-V-E-D. Very good. That's very good. And I said, then what two things did Jesus say you have to do to be saved? Read the text. He said, you got to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. I said, do you understand that? He said, it's not hard to understand. I said, well, do you understand your question was, and you asked me a question earlier about why I believed in baptism. And I said, do you understand now why I believe that you have to be baptized to be saved? He said, I'm beginning to see it. I'm beginning to see it. I said, did Jesus say he that believeth shall be saved and can be baptized if he wants to be? He said, he didn't say that. I said, well, did he say he that believeth is saved and can be baptized if some church votes him in? Did he say that? He said, he didn't say that. I said, what did he say? Well, he said, I just read it. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So I said, what two things in this text does one have to do in order to be saved? He said, you got to believe and you got to be baptized in order to be saved. I said, John, are you beginning to see why I believe in water baptism? He said, I'm beginning to see it. I'm beginning to see it. I said, now, John, we can't cover all the Bible, but I want you to read another scripture for me, if you don't mind. And it's Acts 2:38. Just turn over there and read that. And he turned over there and, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I said, who's doing the talking there, John? He said, well, I'll have to check out, but I believe it was Peter preaching a sermon. I said, that's correct. Peter was preaching a sermon on the day of Pentecost. And he was, this time he's doing the talking. And he told the Pentecostans, they'd ask what to do, and he told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Now, John, when he said, repent ye, to whom is he talking? Well, he's talking to those people who asked the question. On Pentecost, he told them what to do. He told them they had to repent. What else did he tell them, John? Well, he says, and be baptized. I said, he says, there's that conjunction again that you had me to talk about. And this time it joins repentance and baptism. Over there it joined belief and baptism. Good. It sure does. You're right. This time he says you've got to repent and be baptized. I said, John, do you know what repentance is? Well, he said, I'm not sure that I do. Well, really, I said, I want to help you just a little bit on this. Repentance is a change of mind followed by a reformed life. It's that you've been living in sin and you're willing to give it up and turn to the Lord. Repent and turn to the Lord. And he said, well, yeah. I said, I understand that you've got to give up sin. And he says, repent. And I said, but what else did he say that you had to do? He said to be baptized. But what was the purpose of repentance and baptism in this day? Now, you told me in Mark 16 that the purpose of belief and baptism was to be saved. Is that right? He said, well, that's what it said. But what does it say here? He says, it says for the remission of sins. I said, what's the difference in being saved and receiving the remission of sins? Well, he said, I don't see much difference. If you're saved, your sins are forgiven. And here it says you receive the remission of sins. Over there, Jesus said saved. So that meant saved from your sins. That's correct. That's good. That is right. Not saved in heaven. That comes later, you see. That comes later on, being saved in heaven. This is being saved from your sins here on earth. Right? He said, yeah. Right. Okay, you got then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So your goal here, instead of being saved, as in the other script, is for the remission of sins. Is that correct? Yes, he said, I would think that for the remission of sins is a phrase, prepositional phrase, and it modifies, as I understand it, both of these verbs. And you are correct. It doesn't modify just one of them. He didn't say repent for the remission of sins. He didn't say just be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not what he said. He joined them together. And he says repent and be baptized unto or for the remission of sins. Some translations say unto the remission of sins. And so that's what he had. I said, now can you understand, John, why I believe in baptism? He says, well, I see it now, but I didn't see it when I came into this office. My name is John Doe, and I walked in off of the street, and I am confused, but I'm beginning to be enlightened because you made me read it out of the Bible. Everything you said, I read out of the Bible for myself. Now, you did make me define some things, or had me to, which I didn't mind doing, but I'm beginning to understand this. And I understand why you're a member of the Church of Christ, and I understand why you teach faith and repentance, and why you teach baptism, because I read it for myself. That's what Peter meant when he said you're to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that's within you, and that with meekness and fear. If you're here this morning, subject, I hope you are a John Doe and that you will study the Word of God for yourself, and find out what you must do to be saved and then do it. We hope you will. And if you're here today in subject, we just hope that you'll come to the everlasting arms of Jesus. Shall we stand and sing our invitation song?